WWL First News at 7 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Dave Cohen on your official weather station, WWL.
Happy Friday, a hot day, yeah, but we've got some storms in the forecast after topping out at 96 this afternoon. There's a 60% chance of some afternoon and evening thunderstorms. A few storms today could pack a punch with some gusty winds, heavy rain, and frequent lightning.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone says before those isolated severe storms arrive, though, we do have an extreme heat warning. The fiscal outlook for the city of New Orleans has not been good, but the state legislative auditor says looks aren't everything. He says the city's actually in a stronger position than people might think, and largely because of the fight with the state. WWL's Chris Miller explains.
When she took office, Mayor Helena Moreno said it may take 7 years to get the city's money problem solved, and she's by no means guaranteed a second term. But State Legislative Auditor Mike Wackersback says after a few months of working closely with the city, he believes they're in better shape.
I think within her first term, we can make this happen.
And Wackersback hinted there may be more sources of cash flow for the city that the administration has yet to recognize.
There's some other things on the table in the future that I think will bring in either further cash infusions.
However, Wackersback said he is not at liberty to disclose what those other things might be.
The legislative auditor added that because the city has not been able to go to the bond commission for additional loans or under other funding mechanisms because of the fight with the attorney general and the governor, it's forced New Orleans to actually spend more wisely and find additional revenue. No humans were hurt, two cats were rescued, and a third feline remains missing after a three-alarm fire last night on Napoleon Avenue in uptown New Orleans. Firefighters said that it took several hours, but they eventually got the blaze out in a multi-unit complex. No word on the fate of that third cat. Starting next school year, physical education classes in Louisiana public schools will put a greater emphasis on getting students moving. State Education Superintendent Cade Brumley says educators and stakeholders have developed revised plans that actually require that instead of just learning about movement, students will actually have to participate physically.
They bolster the idea of lifetime fitness and lifetime health, and I think they'll go a long way in helping to combat issues like obesity and diabetes and heart health.
Bramley says the old standards ask students to identify or name a physical skill. Now they'll actually have to demonstrate.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The same line of storms that caused severe damage in the Midwest moving further east on Thursday. ABC's Morgan Norwood.
A rain-wrapped tornado tearing through the city of Dover, Delaware, sending debris flying and leaving behind a trail of destruction.
I can't believe this.
Some residents caught off guard, racing to take shelter. Two hotels left badly damaged, pieces of the building wrapped around power lines.
On Long Island, New York, a waterspout may have come on shore. If so, that'd be a tornado. Firefighters digging through torn apart structures at a beach club, making sure there was no one inside. President Trump heads to South Carolina today to stump for Darlene Graham, days ahead of the South Carolina Republican Senate runoff. A charter aircraft carrying 8 people crashing in a remote radar site in western Alaska, killing all on board. President Trump back on the air with his one-time fixer, Michael Cohen, who testified before Congress about Trump's hush money payments. He also did prison time for tax evasion. They were on Cohen's radio show. This is ABC News.
The Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office thought an inmate may have escaped, but WWL-TV's Mike McDaniel reports from the prison that the man was actually forgotten at the courthouse.
According to the sheriff's office, it was during those routine head counts during a round that a deputy noticed that one of the inmates was not in his assigned housing unit. That's when the deputy then notified supervisors, and that's when a search was launched to try and locate this inmate. That inmate was eventually found inside a secured holding cell in the courthouse section where he had been scheduled to appear the day before. He was then brought back to the jail, checked out by medical and mental health staff, and also given some food. According to the sheriff's office, its investigative services bureau is now looking into exactly how this happened.
More and more Americans say they do not drink any alcohol.
Not since Gallup began asking whether we drank have so many of us said no. 54% of U.S. adults say they do consume alcohol, the lowest since 1939. Despite the finding that an occasional glass of red wine, for example, might actually be good for you, 51% of respondents to the Gallup survey believe that even moderate drinking is unhealthy. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Other stats show more people than ever consume marijuana now, a quarter of men and 20% of women. WWL Sports Now, brought to you by People's Health. Here's WWL's Steve Geller.
This training camp update, sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. After a battle royale in their joint workout with Dallas, the Saints session with the LA Rams went off with zero fights breaking out. Instead, it was fourth round pick Bryce Lance turning heads with two touchdowns on his 24th birthday, and Coach Kellen Moore was excited about the wide receiver.
Good work. Contested catches against really talented corners. These guys have some good players on their defense, and so that was awesome for him.
We'll see if Lance can continue that positive momentum at the Saturday's preseason game, which will kick off 3 p.m. on WWL Saints Radio. Pre-game coverage starts up at 11 a.m.
Don't expect to see Saints starters on the field tomorrow, as they'll be sitting out again after this week's joint practices. Now here's WWL's Charlie Long.
This LSU update is brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. While there have been plenty of positives at fall camp, with LSU head coach Lane Kiffin praising the star power of quarterback Sam Levitt and edge Princewill Umamielen, what's a spot of concern on this roster? Coach Kiffin was asked about LSU's depth behind their starting offensive line.
It's a concern, something that, you know, is high on our list of concerns right now. And so we've got to continue to get guys better. They got to improve. Proven so that we feel more confident with that.
Now, the starting five has earned praise, especially in run blocking, but the depth behind them has some work to do. And that's not the only unit with depth concerns. Coach Kiffin also targeted the defensive tackle spot as one that needs to continue growing and developing.
2 weeks from tomorrow, the LSU Tigers take on the Clemson Tigers in the season opener. WWL News Time, 7:06.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Happy Friday. It's going to be a hot day, but we do have some storms to track. Those storms are going to pop up later in the afternoon and into the evening hours. So once the sun goes down, there might still be a few strong storms around, and there is a low risk for a severe thunderstorm today. Highs today will be 96, tomorrow 97, Sunday 98. Rain chances drop to 20% this weekend, and then they start to creep up to 30 to 40% next week. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Peyton Malone.
National Weather Service says we have some towering cumulus clouds at the airport in Kenner, but no rain on radar in southeast Louisiana. It's 80 degrees at the airport. Right now, clear and 76 in Slidell. WWL News Time, 7:07. Time for WWL Traffic.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there. I-10 East, Kenner 2, downtown New Orleans. Light congestion begins in the airport area. Things get heavy around Williams. Everything eases at Veterans, remaining clear to downtown from there. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown. A slowdown begins in the Morrison Curve. Congestion eases at the high rise. Downtown elevated, slow but steady to the flyover. Flyover moderately congested to Business 90. Carson City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Light congestion begins at Terry Parkway, continues over the river. Huey P. Long in the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound, free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen. Back to Tommy Tucker now on WWL.
As we continue our Taking It to the Tech survey, asking you about PE since it was in the news, and somebody texted in and said, I don't know if the math adds up on this. Went to school from 59 through 71, and I loved PE. I learned to box in seventh grade PE. Is that right?
Yeah, 12 years.
All right, I guess that'd be like kindergarten through high school?
Yeah, K through 12.
Just seemed like a long time, 59 to 71.
Maybe you missed math during that time.
Yeah, maybe I did. I guess because you got three decades there, and the end of one, the beginning of the other. That's why it seems like it's longer, and you got the 60s eating up the whole thing. Loved PE, learned to box in seventh grade. PE, good time. Couldn't do that today without risking massive liability. See what lawyers do. I learned the way. I learned way more things in PE and typing that helped me through life more than any other classes. I know about typing helped me a lot. I'll tell you that. Do you type or do you punch a hunt and peck?
No, I type. The home row I learned in junior high school, I still do.
Me too.
Now the phones have changed everything. Now we type with our thumbs.
But you can type without looking, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think PE is a waste of time. Kids can't read and write, and we're playing dodgeball, says this text. somebody else said, loved the PE, kept my GPA up. Dodgeball was my favorite. Kept my GPA up. Dodgeball was my favorite. I think boxing would be good. Took it in the Marine Corps. Fun. Learned a lot. When I went to school, physical education class consisted of prescribed PE uniform complete with athletic supporter, and you actually participated in physical conditioning classes for warm-up. Do you remember as a kid, I don't want to get indelicate here because we're family friendly, but having to get a supporter as part of the list of things you needed and wondering, what the heck is this? How did you would see people?
Nah, I played baseball primarily.
Okay. And so you knew.
Yeah.
But for a lot of kids, I know I went to PE and they did, you know, being my height, I didn't play a lot of basketball, and they gave us the ball and it's like, go play basketball. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know about double dribbling and traveling and all this kind of stuff. It was all new
to
me.
That's kind of what I loved about PE. We had to do every sport. We did baseball, well, softball, mm-hmm. basketball, football, soccer. We even had a swimming pool in my high school, and we had to learn swim. And we had to learn the rules of every sport. They tested us on the rules. The first day was a rules day, and then we'd go play that sport, and I really liked that.
Well,
trying all the sports.
Cardinal rule of swimming, of course, don't drown.
Yes.
Well, and that's why I would never have passed.
They did teach us life-saving as well.
We'll take a break, talk to Aaron Dusso about politicians, and do they really care about the national debt? Everybody talks about it, but do they really care? We'll discuss when we return on WWL. 7:15, quarter after 7 here at WWL on this Friday morning, August 21st. A more likely chance for showers than usual this afternoon. Some of those storms could be heavy, so be aware of that. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Talk about this national debt exceeding $40 trillion. And does anybody care? Do the politicians care? Do the voters care? Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Does anybody care? Do the politicians care? Does this poll well? Is this something that people really care about when it comes to elections or not?
I mean, people say they care, but what's really interesting about polling is so you can do a poll right now or tomorrow or next month, and you can ask people, should Washington do more to address the national debt? And you'll get overwhelming majority. You'll get 70 to 80% of people will say, yes, they should do more. But the reality is that doesn't translate. That concern that we see in that survey doesn't really translate to how people vote. So the American National Election Study will do a survey after every national election. And so this year they'll do another one. And then what it does is it asks a really great question. And that question is, what do you think is the most important problem facing the nation? And it's an open-ended question. People can say anything they want. And what happens is you almost never see debt showing up there more than one or two people. You'll say it, but the overwhelming majority will almost always say something about the economy is always a concern. You know, back in 2002, 2004, terrorism rose up to be one of the top issues. So you see some variance there, but national debt, that's just not something that people ever really mention there. So we don't see it as a driver of votes.
Social issues outweighing national debt as well sometimes?
Right. Yeah. So if something had become politically, a political weapon, essentially, that various parties have used, yes, that'll come up. So like in the 90s, you saw, the issue of same-sex marriage. That came up a lot in some of these surveys because that was a hot button issue at the time. And so they will pop up, but then they oftentimes disappear, after a while.
I saw a statement from the treasurer, Secretary of the Treasury. I don't know if he misspoke or not, but he was conflating deficit with debt. Explain the difference, if you would.
Well, I mean, so the debt is the total amount that we actually owe over time, right? So it just keeps accumulating over the history of the United States. That's what hit $40 trillion for the first time just recently. Now, the deficit is the budget deficit. So we have the annual budgeting process. And so the deficit is how much more we plan to spend in that budget than we actually are going to get in revenue.
So to separate the facts from the politics here, J.D. Vance saying that they inherited the bloated debt from the Biden administration, but to be clear, this has been going on for a long time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I think it was 1981 when the national debt first hit $1 trillion. And so Ronald Reagan at the time spoke against it, but then increased it by another $2 trillion before he left office. So, yeah, it's something that has been happening and building for many, many years, although it's increased the amount of total number of dollars has started to increase substantially over the last couple of decades.
So the Treasury Secretary saying there's nothing magic about the number 40 trillion, but a Representative Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, saying we cannot tax our way out of this. We cannot keep borrowing our way out of this. Congress must find the backbone to make the tough decisions, rein in spending, and get our fiscal house in order. Problem is, that means the people that are in office right now are going to have to touch entitlement programs, and that's not a way to get reelected, is it?
Well, it becomes a real problem once you start talking about touching Social Security or Medicare and that type of thing. But, I mean, there is a challenge, a thought process as to whether or not how much the United States actually has to deal with it. Once you become a superpower historically, countries, you know, have run up massive debts like this in the past, you know, long-term past many times. And the reality is they ultimately never pay those types of things back because ultimately they're the superpower. And as long as the trust is, you know, in that country exists, then they're okay to have, you know, massive debts like this.
Somebody texted in and said nobody's going to get elected if they tell voters they'll raise taxes and or cut your benefits, even if they should. That's a pretty accurate statement, is it not?
Right. Yeah, you're not going to hear too many people running. I mean, one of the great things about the debt as a political issue is that you can be a part of causing the debt, but then you can run against it every 2 years and you can win office that way.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I got to laugh at that. Say that part again.
So, I mean, well, so there's in this particular issue, it's great because, again, you can be a part of causing the debt, right? Mm-hmm. You can vote for the big, beautiful bill, but then you can run against it 2 years later saying, well, we got to, you know, be more fiscal responsible.
So you're pouring gasoline on a fire, then you're running, for re-election saying, we've got to do something about these flames. The flames are incredibly hot. They're dangerous. We need to stop this. Then you get elected, then you start pouring gas on them again so that you can keep the flames up so you got something to run on next time.
Right. Perfect recipe for staying in office for 40 years.
Wow. Incredible. All right. We'll take a break. Pick it up with Aaron Dusso when we come back. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there. I-10 East Kenner 2 downtown New Orleans. Moderate delay starts in the airport area. Things get heavy at Williams, easing at Veterans, remaining clear to downtown from there. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown. The slowdown begins at Reed. Heavy around Morrison. That makes its way through the Morrison Curve. Traffic improving at the high rise. Downtown elevated slow but steady from St. Bernard to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Heavy congestion begins at Stumpf, continues to about General de Gaulle. Have an accident on the road there. Light to moderate congestion crosses the river. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Health System. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
Quick question, and it's not rhetorical. Does Helm have the best paint on the planet? Well, maybe it is rhetorical. Helm, yeah, they do. That's because they only sell Benjamin Moore, which is the world's finest paint, because paint ain't paint. And I'll say it backward. Paint ain't paint. It's not. Let Helm Paint Decorating steer you right with quality Benjamin Moore paint. Professional painters, do-it-yourselfers know that it's going to hide more. Benjamin Moore paint will. It's going to cover more. You're going to get a smoother finish, and Benjamin Moore is going to flat out last longer. And speaking of lasting, Helm Paint Decorating is an iconic New Orleans company, family-owned and operated, serving the entire New Orleans region for over half a century. An iconic company. As a matter of fact, you're going to recognize the jingle when I sing it later because we got a little technical issue and I can't play it. But it's pretty simple. If you've got a painting project, get it done right the first time with quality Benjamin Moore paint from Helm Paint and Decorating, because paint ain't paint. Go to helmpaint.com and let Helm Paint Decorating steer you right. Helm Paint and Supply. Da 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 da. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Yesterday, the national debt exceeded $40 trillion. And if you go to the national debt clock, it's astounding to watch the numbers add up because it ceases to be real. It increases by $1 million every 20 seconds as those numbers roll by. And Aaron Dusso, professor of associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, our guest and our friend. If the way to get elected and to keep yourself in office for 40 years is to create and embellish the problem and then run against it and then go back and create and embellish it, because it really is a sucker's game. If you think about it, I'm going to give you everything you want, but then I'm going to complain about it costing money when it's time for re-election and blame it on the other guy or the other woman. Then I'm going to go back to doing the same thing, lather, rinse, repeat. How does this end?
Well, I mean, to me, I start to think about, well, ultimately, democracies depend on voters, right? The voters are the base of every single democracy. And in the end, who's at fault? And a lot of times I would just point to, well, it's us. It's me, right? I don't want to spend the amount of time necessary to really understand who or where the debt might have come from, who is spending or what the bill might actually do, right? Because that's a lot of time. I've got to pay my bills. I got to raise my kids, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it's just too much, right? And so I rely on these shortcuts. And the shortcut that's most common, of course, is partisanship. And so I'm just going to go along with my partisanship. I'll go into the voting booth, look for my R or my D, and I'll vote that way. And then that's what leads to this ability to, if you're a politician, as long as you have the R or the D, you're going to have a certain base of people that will vote for you no matter what you actually do, because they're just not going to spend the time to find out. And they won't believe in opposition if they say, well, look what they did. I don't believe you because you're the wrong partisanship. And so it's a real quandary, because if you're a voter, you really need to spend a lot of time that you don't have. And so this is a cycle that kind of perpetuates itself in a democracy.
And when it comes to self-sacrifice, which people would have to make if they want to inform themselves, right, like you were saying, and they want to do something about the debt, and which is accumulated, the deficit runs year to year, just to keep our terms straight, they want to do something about it. It's like, okay, well, we're all going to sacrifice, we're all going to tighten our belts. The problem is, human nature being what it is, it's like in a marriage where, wait a minute, you're telling me I can't play golf, but you're still going to go out and buy these designer handbags, or you're telling me that I can't buy these designer handbags and you're still going to go out and play golf. I'm not trying to be sexist about this. I'm just trying to make an analogy. It's hard for you to say that when you perceive that the other guy is still getting theirs and you're not getting yours.
Exactly. I mean, that's where the variable political trust becomes really important. If you want to have that kind of sacrifice, you have to have people actually believe not only in trust in their government, they have to trust the rest of their, you know, community and people that we're all sacrificing together. If you have that, you can actually accomplish big things and people will sacrifice, you know, for the common good. But if they don't trust it, they don't believe that others are going to, you know, are going to sacrifice too, that's where you run into real problems.
If I talk to you next year, where are we going to be on this?
It will be higher. It will be $45 trillion.
Because it hit $39 trillion in March. It reached $38 trillion 5 months before that in October. Now we're up to 40. So if we went from 39 to 40 between March and now, you know doggone well, if we talk in another 5 months, we're going to be at 41, then 42, and it's going to continue to grow maybe at an even faster rate, and nobody's going to do anything about this.
Yeah, agree, 100%.
At some point, it's going to come crashing down, I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think. Thank you, Aaron Dusso. Have a good weekend. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, about that audit into the New Orleans sanitation system and more right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
At 7:30, good morning. Here's the latest from your official weather station, WWL.
Happy Friday. We've got a heat warning in effect today. 105 to 110 for those feel like for most. Some spots could feel closer to 113, so do be careful. The big headline is the storm chances later today. There's about a 60% chance of you getting a storm later in the afternoon and into the evening. Even once the sun goes down, can't rule out a thunderstorm or two, with gusty winds being the primary concern.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone has your full forecast coming up for the weekend. Every day, it seems like we've heard more bad news about the city's budget future, but maybe it's not as bad as it sounds.
I think things have greatly improved.
Louisiana Legislative Auditor Mike Wagasback has been practically embedded in New Orleans City Hall ever since Mayor Helena Moreno took office, helping the new administration find money sources that the previous administration seemed to have forgotten. And Wagasback says there may be a silver lining to the State Bond Commission's apparent opposition to letting the city borrow more money.
I think it's better that they didn't go in front of the Bond Commission, because it's going to require them to really tighten up the belt some more. Keep turning over those couch cushions and finding those pots of money to use for cash flow.
Chris Miller, WWL First News.
An investigation is underway at the Orleans Parish Jail after guards apparently forgot an inmate at the courthouse. A headcount showed a missing man this week. Deputies eventually found him alone in a cell at the courthouse where he had been scheduled to appear the day before. A news release calls it an error.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The latest part of the country dealing with weather chaos, the Northeast, as a series of storms swept through the region, bringing damaging winds and heavy rain along the I-95 corridor. One person suffered minor injuries. ABC's Morgan Norwood.
Powerful, fast-moving storms slamming the Northeast.
From D.C. to Philly to New York. On Long Island, a waterspout coming ashore.
It's a tornado.
Hitting two beach clubs, damaging or destroying dozens of cabanas. Massive planks of wood piercing structures and littering the beach. Firefighters digging through the torn apart structures, making sure no one was trapped.
An arrest in New York, a 35-year-old woman now in custody, accused of plotting with ISIS to blow up the Capitol building in Albany.
Authorities charging Jessica Bowie with providing material support to ISIS and claiming that she asked a confidential informant how to make a bomb that she planned to detonate while state lawmakers were in session.
Correspondent Pierre Thomas. In Philadelphia, police have a suspect in the case of a man chasing after women near City Hall while wearing a scary clown mask. However, that person is not in custody. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Louisiana Department of Education has announced new physical education standards will start next year, as we hear from WWL's Jeff Palermo.
State Superintendent of Education Dr. Kay Brumley says BSEE has approved new physical education standards. Brumley says the old standards ask students to name a skill. The new standards will ask students to demonstrate the skill.
It's about actually doing the activities.
Brumley says the new standards will go into effect next year, giving the state time to educate PE teachers on how gym classes should look.
Making sure that everyone knows and understands these standards.
I'm Jeff Palermo.
Different people have different sets of skills, right? Well, in Iowa, they just had a competition at the state fair to find the best chicken callers.
Come on, girls, let's go!
The winner received a blue ribbon and a grand prize of $5. Time for WWL Sports, brought to you by People's Health. Here's WWL Steve Geller.
This training camp update sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. A doubleheader of joint practices for the black and gold were intense. Kellen Moore's squad had high-octane sessions against the Cowboys and Rams this week, and coach felt it was worth it for that iron-sharpening iron intensity.
I thought it was excellent work for our guys. It's almost, you can view it as kind of like that peak point of training camp, like, you know, to do back-to-back right there. Obviously, we'll come down, we'll play the game, and then next week we'll have a few practices leading into Dallas.
Now the Saints get to catch their breath today before live action hits in preseason game number 2, Saturday, 3 p.m. in SoFi Stadium versus the Rams. Tune into our pregame coverage that'll begin at 11 a.m.
Saints starters expected to sit out tomorrow's game after their joint practices this week. Here's WWL's Charlie Long.
This LSU update is brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. LSU head coach Lane Kiffin said the Tigers' starting defense has continued its stellar play at fall camp. But what about the offense? During his media session on Thursday, Coach Kiffin also made sure to praise what he's seen from starting quarterback Sam Leavitt.
Our offense has started to improve. Sam has been awesome. Really has been. I don't say that very often, but he made two throws back-to-back today that, you know, I call them adult throws that not many people in the country can make. Really pleased with him, and now we got to make more plays around him.
Look for Leavitt and the Tiger pass catchers to continue growing together. Fall scrimmage number 2 is set for tomorrow, with the regular season opener just over 2 weeks away.
Yeah, let's hope we see more of those adult throws against Clemson 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Happy Friday. It is going to be a really hot weekend. We've got temperatures in the mid to upper 90s, and the chance of rain is highest today. It's actually 60% this afternoon and this evening, and we can't rule out a strong storm later on in the evening hours. Today's high is 96, but Saturday and Sunday hotter. 97 Saturday, 98 Sunday. Your heat index 105 to 110 most days, and a few spots could be a little hotter. And the chance of rain this weekend is only 20%. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Pete Malone.
Got some clouds, but the only showers in the region are offshore right now. It's 80 degrees at the airport in Kenner. Winds are calm. It's 76 degrees in Slidell. WWL News Time 736. Let's check on WWL traffic.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Leaving La Paz, headed to Kenner just before you enter the Bonnie Carey Spillway Bridge. Have moderate delay there with an accident on the road. Things clear up pretty nicely. You see the brake lights again in Kenner, I-10 East to downtown. Right around the airport area, light to moderate congestion begins there. Hangs on to the split and to about Metairie Road as you make your way into the city. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown. A slowdown begins at Reed. A little heavy in the morning. And curve traffic improves at the high rise. Downtown elevated slow from St. Bernard to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Carson City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Heavy congestion begins at Stumpf. Slow to General de Gaulle. An accident is on the road there. Light to moderate congestion continues over the river. Huey P. Long in the causeway. No delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Frady's. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thanks, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen. Let's get back to Tommy Tucker now on WWL.
So we got this little thing we do, taking it to the text survey, where we ask you to text in at 504-260-1870 with your opinion on whatever it is we happen to be talking about. And since P.E. was in the news, I thought we'd ask, do you like P.E.? Do you hate P.E.? What did you like or love about it? What did you hate about it? Somebody texted in, doing away with P.E. was one of the many steps in losing our way.
And that's apparently what Dr. Cade Brumley and Bessie think, because I didn't know, my kids are all grown now, I didn't know that P.E. now consisted of, hey, what is a sit-up? And you just had to explain it. You didn't have to actually do it. Or how do you jump? Or how do you climb a rope? Now they're going to actually have to do that stuff again.
How do you climb a rope?
You never did rope climbing in P.E.?
Yeah, but now I pay somebody to do that for me. I would love for my kids to take boxing or some kind of self-defense course for the girls. That would be good, really, if you think about it. Self-defense. I don't know.
I'd be okay with martial arts in P.E.
At the Irish Channel. But you know what? My kid took karate as a young kid, and it's fine till you get kicked in the face. Then all of a sudden, it's like, hang on here a minute.
Yeah, that's
at the Irish Channel Catholic High School I attended, boxing was done at P.E. We'd get in a circle. Coaches would pick who would box back in the 60s and 70s. Boxing was a big part of CYO. Would never see that now. Then there's this. My favorite part of P.E. was playing Red Rover. I don't know what that is.
Oh, come on. Where you link arms and Red Rover, let Tommy come over.
Oh.
And you have to run and try to break the grasp of the people on the other side.
And often you
end up breaking their wrist, literally.
As a tubby youngster, I was always the one that they wanted to send over because I was good at breaking wrists. School is about preparing kids for life. Physical prowess is as important as mental abilities. And then somebody texted in, they should have P.E., but teach sports that will help kids with their careers in the future, things like golf, tennis, racquetball, and other social sports. That's an interesting angle as well.
Yeah, I think there's a place for P.E., and I think that understanding the importance of physical health could only help us as a society, right?
Yeah, that's crazy, just explaining what a sit-up is and not doing it.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Explain it 100 times and you'll get your fitness award. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Eugene Green about trash pickup in the city, WWL. Imagine, if you will, the hose, or as we say on the West Bank, the hose pipe, turned off or turned on. Well, it was kind of like that with my sinuses when I saw Dr. Anand over at GNO Snoring and Sinus. But I'm getting ahead of myself. It was 10 years ago now. I went to see him because I was tired of the sinus problems. And he invited me back a week later. I went to his Metairie office. He's one of the leading ENTs in the city, a board-certified surgeon. But what he did for me, at least from my standpoint, was not that complicated. All I had to do was sit still for 45 minutes, which for me can be a challenge, but I was able to do it by sitting on my hands, literally. And while I did that, with his skilled hands, he performed balloon sinuplasty on me. It didn't hurt. I didn't lose consciousness. I was easily able to drive myself home. But as he performed that procedure, it was as though he turned a valve or flipped a switch, because my sinuses opened and have remained open ever since. He accepts Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, Medicare Advantage plans, including People's Health. So please, if you have any problems with sleep apnea, sinus issues, snoring, or breathing in general, enough. Go to GNOsnoring.com, find out more. You might just change your life as I did, feel a whole lot better. It's GNOsnoring.com. 744, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by another friend of ours, Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Council member?
Good morning, Tommy. Hello to you and to all of your listeners.
Let's talk about what's got your attention over at City Hall.
Well, One of the things is I know that everybody's talking about the audit that was done that shows that the city may have been paying for more households than the collections were being done. I just want to let folks know that the reason that we do such an audit and we brought the state in was to have a third party to look with, very discerning, give a discerning look at the city's finances in many respects, since we're required to go to the state to get approval for loans, approval for the sale of bonds, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just putting out on the table what should have been maybe dealt with a little bit better or a lot better, but the bottom line is that it's in the interest of full disclosure that we share that the city of New Orleans was paying for more households than it was getting collections on. Households and also business locations. That's not acceptable. It's something that, the City Council of New Orleans funds operations, but of course doesn't look into all of the minute details of how the operations go. That's why we have representatives in various capacities in the city who analyze that. But sometimes a crisis such as our budget crisis gives a chance for us to look at some of the things that have been done right and things that have been done wrong, and that's an area in which we've done wrong and we're going to correct it.
So I'm trying to figure out how it works. Does the city give, with a request for proposals or whatever it is, they say, okay, here, contractor X, Y, and Z, here's a list of the houses or that we need you to pick up garbage at, or how does that list get generated? I guess what I'm wondering, Councilmember.
Well, the list certainly gets generated by the numbers that have been identified by the City of New Orleans, but it's important to recognize that there are always going to be challenges within that list. For example, we have rules that if you're above a certain number of units, you have to get your own private disposal of trash services. And sometimes those numbers don't match up with the reality of what is going on the ground. There are some apartment complexes, for example, and they're relatively small, that should have been having their own trash picked up, and the bottom line is that we were paying as if the City of New Orleans was picking them up. That's an example. There's still a lot more to be done with the audit, but the bidding process is very complex. It was not just based on strictly, the number of households. It was based on having the right types of vehicles, having services that allowed for additional trash cans to be available to garbage collection cans to be available to everybody. A certain type of vehicle was required that didn't emit smoke. The bottom line is that those bids were very complex. It wasn't just based on here's the number, and this is what you're responding to.
And I guess I'm not trying to encourage anybody to game the system here, but the garbage truck, they don't have a list of addresses that they follow. They just go down the street till they see the can and they pick it up, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if that was as much a problem, but it is, Tommy. Certainly someone can put a trash can out and you can have a new crew, or you can have a crew that said, oh, maybe we didn't pick that up the last two times, and they pick it up. The bottom line is that, yes, if you own a fourplex or above, if you own above a fourplex, technically, unless there are exceptions, you're supposed to really have a dumpster. But, for example, if those trash cans are outside, or if you've spoken to somebody and they said, oh, well, we can't get into your situation because you don't have a place for a dumpster, there are exceptions all over the place. I'll give you an example. If you have a business and it has no place for a dumpster, you can't put it on the street. So it becomes a little bit more complex, but you're supposed to be responsible for your own trash unless you have an exemption.
And the only reason I brought that up is people, I think, sometimes, and I'm not taking up for anybody here at all, but they hold government to a 100% efficiency standard, and you don't have that in the normal workplace. I don't care if you go to a grocery store or here, anywhere you go, you're not going to get 100% efficiency. It's never going to happen.
It's also important to recognize that things change. We have, in my district, we have a serious new construction boom. We have lots that are being converted into new addresses, for example, with people moving into duplexes and single homes. Sometimes there are going to be mistakes made, and we have to rectify them. But it's important to recognize that we do, because of that audit, recognize that there is a shortcoming within the system that has to be adjusted, and we're going to adjust it. It was not that the City of New Orleans is saying, we're never going to do anything about this. The audit has helped us.
And it's not either saying that anybody was overpaid on this. It's just a mistake, right, as I understand it?
Well, of course, if somebody was paid for a household that, you know, there was no collection being done at, that could be an issue, and that's all still part of the audit.
But is that
but
part
if you
of
were,
it?
Right,
Eugene?
But if you were collecting, for example, at a place where you felt was the right place to collect, which is going to be the vast majority of the instances, the bottom line is that maybe we weren't collecting the fees on the city side, but you were performing a service that you felt that you were supposed to have been doing as part of your contract. Yes. So I don't want everybody to say, oh, there's millions of dollars paid to contractors, and they shouldn't have gotten that money. Well, they may have actually done pickups.
Well, that's what I was saying, because the list came from the city, and they're picking up the cans, and they don't have a list in the truck, so I don't know that if it's a ghost address, they got it from the city, right?
Well, at the end of the day, I don't think there was a vast conspiracy to pick up and get paid for in different numbers. I think that we'll find that the audit says we have to do some adjusting, and there may be some money that has to be paid back, but we're going to do the right thing. We recognize that there's a lot of scrutiny that the city is under right now. We want to work well. We have to work well. The state has put a lot of requirements on us. We're going to do the right thing. But bringing in the third party, the state auditor, someone who has got significant experience not only in working numbers, but in leadership. Our state auditor is a former sheriff. The bottom line is that he's going to look and make sure that no stone is left unturned to make sure that the city is operating in as efficient manner as possible.
Let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back 751, 9 till 8. Traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, LaPlace to Kenner, do have light delay as you enter the Spillway Bridge. Eases pretty quickly. You'll see the brake lights again, I-10 East Kenner to downtown New Orleans. Right around Williams, have some light to moderate congestion. Hangs on to the split. Things actually clear up from there. I-10 West New Orleans, east to downtown, you'll tap the brakes between the Morrison Curve and the high rise. Downtown elevated slow to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Heavy congestion begins at Stumpf, continues over the river. Huey P. Long in the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Sunshine. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
752, that's 5th District Savings Time. Time to congratulate them on an incredible milestone. 100 years in business for 5th District Savings Bank. For over a century, they've been helping people right here in our community with local lending, personal service, and friendly faces you can count on. It's businesses like this that make New Orleans stronger, and they're a great example of what community banking is all about. So happy 100th anniversary to everybody over at 5th District. Thanks for all you do. And here's to many more years of serving our community. Happy 40th anniversary between 5th District and myself. We've been doing business together since 1986 when I bought my first starter house in Algiers and when I built a home in Belchase and refinanced it in the 2000s. And right now, speaking of refinancing, you may not want to touch that mortgage that's in the twos or the threes or the fours, but if you got some equity in your house and you want to get the money out of it, why don't you look into a home equity line of credit, a HELOC from 5th District that can help finance your project, whether it's a family vacation, tuition, you want a bathroom remodel, maybe even add a pool. They have a special rate at 5th District that you're going to love. Go to one of the 7 conveniently located branches or just call them at 504-363-6505 and see what my friends at 5th District can do. They're a full-service bank with safe and secure deposit products, commercial loans, and small business banking. In all the 40 years I've been doing business with them, they have never sold a mortgage. I've always doing business with 5th District. I've always been doing business with 5th District and only 5th District Savings Bank. Go to 5thdistrict.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. 756, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, about this audit that found some discrepancies when it came to trash pickups. Nearly 8%, 13,000 of the 164,000 plus service locations may be vacant, non-existent, or duplicates. So, council member, somebody texted in about Jefferson Parish being twice the rate, and I would ask, New Orleans Parish being twice the rate of Jefferson Parish, so I would ask, is it fair to equate Orleans Parish with neighboring parishes, or due to the geography, the neighborhoods, et cetera, is it completely different?
Well, geography really doesn't play a role in this, but the fact is the city of New Orleans is much different from the cities around it. One is that we chose to do something in our contracts that was a little bit different that people don't really see because you don't see the contract. There was a lot of clamoring about things that weren't getting done after Hurricane Ida, that there weren't enough trash cans. Remember, we have 100,000 plus locations in the city, which makes us different. But it's also important to recognize that we entertain 10 million visitors a year. We have concerns in certain communities that don't exist in other communities. We have challenges here, but we have opportunities that don't exist in other places. It's not as simple to say, oh, it's twice as expensive in New Orleans, because it's important to recognize that these contracts, like many others, were bid. And for one reason or the other, it may be, for example, that New Orleans wants to see people get paid $15 an hour and not $7 an hour, and you have to pay certain fees, you know, you have to pay certain expenses to make sure that our city is protected. We put a lot more into the specifications of this job, as is done often, because our city and our citizens want something different. So I'll give you the first example. You have to pay $15 an hour at least to your people. It's more than that now, who are on the jobs, because we wanted to get the kind of people who are out there working right now, who are every at least once a week coming out at 4 o'clock in the morning, motivated to work. They are entitled to and get benefits. So our contracts are a little bit different here in the city, and much of that has to do with the fact that it's what our citizens ask. Tommy, in just 1 minute, give me 1 minute sure. to say one really positive thing. I just want to thank the members of our law enforcement community and those who are providing services in the city. We are on track right now to have the lowest violent crime rate in the city of New Orleans in 57 years. Not only in addition to that, we're down in violent crime. We're down in fatalities due to automobile accidents. We are down relative to overdoses. Terrible. We still have numbers. But when I was in office the first year, we had over 500 overdoses, death overdoses, fatalities in the city of New Orleans. That number this year is going to be below 200 or between 200 and 250, which is still terrible. But it's important to recognize, and you give me an opportunity to say that to thousands of listeners throughout the Gulf Coast, that in some respects the city is moving in the right direction, and we are absolutely moving in the right direction relative to crime in our city. It's law enforcement playing a big role, the state, the city, and the federal government working together, and there are social services providers who are playing a role too, and those who support victims of crime, the most important component of our criminal justice system. We're moving in the right direction, and with your help too, by publicizing some of the good things that are going on, we're moving in the right direction there, and I thank you.
I'm glad you said that, because the negative stuff gets the press always, and you know, whenever an audit happens, it brings up the question of, well, would you rather not know? No, certainly you want to know about it, and that's what an audit does. It indicates where the problems are, then you go about fixing them.
Full disclosure, and I can take comments, and I can take criticisms. Let me know what you think.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member. Come back. We're talking to Mike Dettelier about the Saints. That's going to be fun. And then we'll talk about alligator hunting. So stay with us.
WWL First News at 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Dave Cohen on your official weather station, WWL.
Happy Friday. We've got some rain in the forecast today. The chance is 60%. That'll be for the late afternoon and evening hours. So even after sunset, might have a few storms around the region. The high temperature otherwise is hot, 96, feeling like 105 to 110.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone says we have another extreme heat warning before those isolated storms arrive that could be severe. New Orleans' fiscal picture might not be as bad as it seems, according to Louisiana Legislative Auditor Mike Wagisback, who's been working very closely with the city and Mayor Helena Moreno. He says New Orleans, though, still has some very difficult decisions to make.
I think the Moreno administration has made great strides, but I think they still have to continue to look at additional cuts.
Wagisback says one of the best things that happened was perhaps the city not being able to go back to the bond commission for more loans or other funding mechanisms after the big fight with the governor and the attorney general. He says it forced New Orleans to cut more and find other sources of funding. A woman charged in the death of two teenagers finds out her fate today. WWL-TV's Whitney Miller tells us what started with a shoplifting in Metairie led to a chase on the I-10 across the parish line that ended with the deadly crash.
Jonika Smooth, she pleaded guilty in the deaths of 17-year-old Giselle Smith and Samaj Moores back in May. Investigators say she crashed into the teenager's vehicle while exiting at St. Bernard Avenue. She'd been fleeing Jefferson Parish Sheriff's deputies after an alleged shoplifting incident at Lakeside Shopping Center. She faces up to life in prison.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. After 9 long months at sea, the USS Abraham Lincoln is now heading home. The deployment was only supposed to be between 6 and 7 months, but that mission was extended as the war with Iran went on. Severe weather in the Northeast with reports of waterspouts and possible tornadoes on Long Island, New York. Another law enforcement officer fired after checking up on someone using an automated license plate reader.
This is Jim Ryan. That misuse of flock camera data might have gone unnoticed, except that a watchdog group opposed to the technology picked it up. After firing Deputy Rome, Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe Lapinto has gone to flock to ask,
what can we put into their program to make it better for us to be able to see this in the future?
He acknowledges that incidents like this one shake public confidence in the technology.
A 35-year-old woman under arrest plotting to attack the New York State Capitol building in Albany. FBI agents say she had pledged allegiance to ISIS. This is ABC News.
The Louisiana Board of Elementary and Secondary Education's approved new rules for physical education. State Superintendent of Education Cade Brumley says starting next year, kids will actually have to participate in physical education.